Or would you like to learn about prayer this morning? Amen is right. Prayer is a very important topic. It's a very important topic for our Lord, and therefore it's a very important topic to us. What I did this week is I read all four Gospels, and I asked myself the question, what does Jesus teach us about prayer? What can we learn from his overall teachings, his clear teachings on the subject, and what can we learn from his example? So tonight, as you can see, or this morning rather, is following Jesus in your prayer life. So take out your Bibles and open them up to the Gospels, get to the New Testament, and we're going to look at the Gospels this morning. We're going to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What does Jesus teach us about prayer? And what does Jesus teach us about prayer from his example? What does Jesus teach us about prayer from his direct teaching on the subject? Would you pray with me, please? Prayer is very important, and it's my heart's desire today that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit would teach you and encourage you on this beautiful subject. So would you take some time just to pray right now that God would teach you about prayer? Would you pray for the other people in the room that God would teach them about prayer today? Would you take a few moments to pray for me that I would accurately represent the Lord as we talk about the subject of prayer this morning? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in your bulletin, there should be a note sheet in there that you can follow along with me. We've got 15 blanks this morning, so hopefully that'll help you stay with me. The first thing I want to point out as I was reading through all four Gospels is the Lord Jesus Christ begins his ministry with 40 days of prayer and fasting. I think that's significant. That's the very beginning of his three-year ministry. He begins it with 40 days of solitude, fasting, and prayer. And I think we can just stop right there and learn something really important about prayer. Prayer was important to the Lord. So important that he began his ministry with fasting and prayer. And perhaps you should begin your ministry with fasting and prayer. Perhaps you're starting a new ministry or considering starting a ministry or considering changing a direction and life. Follow the teaching of the Lord and begin it with a period of prayer and fasting. The second thing I want to point out to you is that in the book of John, as I read through the whole Gospel of John, what stuck out to me was the intimate father-son relationship between our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And we can see that Jesus' prayer life is done within the relationship he has with the Father. Look at Luke 3:22 behind me on the screen. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And Jesus' entire prayer life was done with that knowledge. Every time he prayed, he knew that he was a son and that he was praying to his Father. And our prayer life should be done with the same knowledge. If you are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ this morning, every time you pray, remember that you're not praying to just some distant God somewhere. You're praying to your Heavenly Father. And He has adopted you into His family by your faith in Jesus Christ. John 15:10, again, Jesus says this, "If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love." Jesus knew the relationship he had with his Father, and that was the overall context of his entire prayer life. Please join me. I hope you brought your Bible this morning. You're going to definitely need it. Please join me in John chapter 17. John 17:20. And Jesus is praying and he says this, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you've given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." You see this awesome, intimate, loving relationship between the Father and the Son, and how by the work of Jesus Christ, we are invited into an intimate relationship with the Father and the Son. It's all about relationship. When Jesus prays, he prays as a child to his Father. And when we pray, we should pray with that relationship in mind. We are praying to our Heavenly Father. Number one in your notes, this is very important that you understand. Prayer takes place in the context of a father-child relationship. As we move through the Gospels, we come to the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus has a lot to say about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and number two in your notes, prayer should be done in secret, not to bring attention or praise to yourself. It's very important teaching of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Prayer is between you and God. It's not to say that you can't pray with someone else, or can't pray in public, or can't pray in a group. The point is, in your heart, you're not doing it to gain attention or for praise for yourself. Our Lord Jesus provides us with the model prayer. Perhaps you've heard of it as the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Would you turn there with me, please? Matthew chapter 6. Starting from verse 9, Jesus says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Jesus says, pray like this. Very, very important. If you want to know what Jesus, how Jesus wants you to pray, there you have it in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And I've summarized it as number 3 in your notes. Prayer should not be meaningless repetition, but instead should be focused on God's glory, God's kingdom, God's benevolent provision, and God's forgiveness. The Lord's Prayer teaches you how to pray, not necessarily reciting those words, but calling God Father and focusing your prayers on God's glory and God's kingdom and God's will. As we read through the Gospels, one thing I really noticed about Jesus' prayer life is that Jesus would often get away by himself to pray. He does that a lot. He does it in the morning. Mark 1:35 behind me on the screen. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. He does it in the evening. Matthew 14:23. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. He does it often. Luke 5:16. But the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and be healed of their sickness. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Sometimes he takes his disciples with him. Luke 9:28. Some 8 days after these things, he took along Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming. Please join me now in the Bible in front of you in Luke 6. And let's look at that again. Luke 6. Luke 6:12. It was at this time, Luke 6:12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, who was also called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Number 4 in your notes, what I want you to notice today. Our Lord spent all night in prayer to God before making a major decision. This is an extremely important thing that we all need to learn. Major decisions should come after seasons of prayer. Are you facing a major decision in life? Have you prayed? Have you prayed and sought the Lord? Jesus, before he appointed his 12 apostles, spent all night in prayer. A prayer life is something that we all desperately need. Number 5 in your notes, we should follow our Lord's example by regularly going to a quiet place alone to pray. Would you agree that what our society needs today is silence? We are bombarded constantly with noise. I am no exception. You can't get away from it. There is no time to be quiet. And I would say in 2018, it is extremely important, more than ever, that there be a time in your day, every single day, that there be a time in your day where you get away from all of the noise of the world. Get away from people, even. Get away from the internet. Get away from your phone. Get away from everything and everyone. There should be a time every single day when, at least for a few moments, it is only you and God. And for periods of time, weekly, monthly, maybe annually, get away for a little longer. You say, I could never spend all night in prayer to God. I want to challenge you with something. If you're here and you're saying, I could never spend all night in prayer to God, it's probably, forgive me if I'm wrong, it's probably because you've never done it. If you had done it, you would probably say, that was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. We all need to get away and be alone with God. Number six, we should love and pray for our enemies and those who mistreat us. Jesus teaches us that in the same chapter of Luke in verses 27 and 28. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine and I were at a worship service. And when we left the worship service, we went out to his car, and his car had been broken into, and his belongings were stolen. And I'll never forget what happened. He immediately stopped, and he prayed for the thief, that he might come to know Christ as Savior. That's what we're all supposed to do. The Lord Jesus says, again, when we pray, that we should pray to God as our Heavenly Father. And the question we all need to ask is, what does it mean that God is our Father? What kind of Father is God? It's not enough for me to just say, God is your Father. You need to know what kind of dad He is. And Jesus teaches us that several times in the Gospels. You're in Luke chapter 6 right now in the Bible that you brought with you. Turn over just a couple of pages to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is such a wonderful teaching. Many of us are parents, and you know that if your son or daughter asks you for food, you are going to give everything you can to provide for that son or daughter. You will bring all of your strength and energy and money to bear to provide food for that person. And Jesus is saying, God is better. God is better. He says, if you being evil would do that, how much more is God going to answer the persistent prayer of the child that his son died for? You're in Luke 11. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Another story of our Lord, Luke 18. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. I love it when Jesus does this because he gives you the point of the parable. Sometimes parables are hard to understand, but sometimes the Lord just says, this is my point. This is my point. You don't have to wonder about this parable because Jesus tells you the point of the parable in verse 1. The point of the parable is that you ought to pray and not give up. Saying, verse 2, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night and will delay long over them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. These two stories are so wonderful, so wonderful. The first, a guest keeps coming to me, say, hey, I need some help. And finally, because of the persistence, the guest lets him in and gives him the loaves. The second is an unrighteous judge. Give me legal protection. Finally, because of the persistence, she gets what she needs. And God is saying, I'm better. I'm so much more giving. I'm so much more loving. I'm so much more powerful. I answer prayer so much more than these two individuals. And Jesus' point is this, number 7 in your notes. We should pray with persistence, knowing that God cares about our needs. We should pray with persistence, knowing that God cares about our needs. You've come into this room this morning, and you have a prayer need. You need your Heavenly Father to answer the prayer. Jesus is saying, keep on praying because God is good, and he hears you. Don't give up. Number 8 in your notes, everyone who asks receives. We can pray with confidence, knowing that God will give what is good to his children. Knowing that God will give what is good to his children. Pray with confidence. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, and she asked for healing. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm only here for Jewish people. And he says, and Jesus said to her, it's not good to take the dog's food. Help me out, Gail. It's not good to take the people's food and give it to the dogs. And the woman says, but Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. It's confidence. She doesn't turn away. She says, I know who you are, and I know you're going to help me. And we need to pray with persistence and confidence. Trinity Baptist Church, when you pray, remember God loves you more than anyone ever has, more than anyone ever will. Don't give up praying. ever. There have been people that have prayed for a family member to come to know Christ, and they die, and the family member is saved after their death. Don't ever give up. God is good. As I read through the Gospels, in fact, I challenge you with this. I challenge you with this. You read the Gospels this week and come back to me and tell me if anyone that came to Jesus and asked for healing wasn't healed. Did it happen one time? Come back and tell me if you find it. And I look at that and I say, by simply observing the fact that everyone that came to Jesus and humbly in faith asked for healing was healed, that teaches me about God right there. That teaches me about prayer. God is a God who answers prayer. Number 9 in your notes. Our Lord tells us to pray that God would send out workers into his harvest field. That's in Matthew 9, 36 through 39. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech or ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The Lord Jesus believed that God answers prayer. You're in Luke 18. Turn back to Matthew this morning. Matthew is the first gospel. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Turn back to Matthew and then join me in chapter 21. Matthew 21, 18. Matthew 21, 18. Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Jesus teaches us that God answers prayer. John 14, 13 and 14. "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." John 15, 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." John 15, 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you." John 16, 23 through 27, "In that day you will not ask me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." Number 10 in your notes is very simple. God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. That's who he is. We can see how important prayer is to our Lord when he comes into Jerusalem and sees that the temple, the place that God designed to be a place of prayer, has become a marketplace. And we read this in Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house should be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a robber's den." Well, sometimes in life, we face extremely difficult circumstances. And maybe you've come in here this morning. I'm going to assume that all of you this morning have trials, because that's what life is all about. Every single person in this room is facing a trial right now. But sometimes in life, we face the hardest trial we have ever faced. And maybe you're here this morning, and this is your most difficult moment in life. What does our Lord teach us about prayer at that moment? You're in Matthew 21. Turn one book over to Mark chapter 14. The book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark 14, 32. Mark 14, 32. They came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and he began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." What an amazing passage. Jesus has come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he literally is facing his most difficult challenge in his entire life. And what does he do? He prays. Number 11 in your notes. Our Lord teaches us that in our most difficult time, we should pray. We should pray. And if you're like me, when you're in your most difficult time, that's when temptation is the strongest. When you're in your most difficult time, that's when we are most tempted to walk by sight and not by faith. And what our Lord says is very, very important to the disciples. It's number 12 in your notes. We are to keep watching and praying so that we do not enter into temptation. There's several reasons you pray when you come to your most difficult challenge, but one of them is that you will not fall into temptation during that challenge. Number 13 in your notes. In prayer and in life, no matter what the situation, our primary concern and commitment should be God's will, not ours. When you're in that moment, you pray, "God, your will be done, not mine." And then finally, number 14 in your notes, we should ask and keep on asking. Jesus teaches that in Matthew, he teaches that in Luke, and he models it for us in the garden as he keeps going back to pray the same thing. As we read the Gospels, we see Jesus often slipping away to pray. Throughout his life, he got alone to pray. But one thing I want you to see, as I read through the Gospels this week, Jesus' life was not only prayer. Jesus' life was a life of obedient service. And I found a verse just to summarize that in Matthew 14, 13 and 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, what did he do? He said, I'm sorry. I'm here to pray. Go away. No, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And so the last thing I want to leave you with on number 15 in your notes is that prayer is not a substitute for obedient service. We don't pray instead of obeying. We pray as part of a life of obedience. I want to leave you with Psalm 20. Would you please turn there with me, please? Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. This is Psalm 20. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.